So here we are with Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, and a guy who specializes in a whole bunch of areas which we need: American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions, and he's got a major book coming out. Let's go to a different place. Here in New York State, Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City is taking on Andrew Cuomo. Now, you would think that Andrew Cuomo would be in desperate trouble now because the people around him are getting convicted, you know, they're taking pleas, they're going to prison. He rode in on a charger when he ran the first time saying he was going to clean things up, and yet he's way out front. And what I keep hearing, and I know this is a little too much expository talking, but what I keep hearing from people is, yeah, he may be surrounded by crooks and all of that, but, you know, he gets things done. So, but I also think it's the Cuomo name. What do you think?
Well, we know from, the political science literature has shown that the names are powerful, right? That, a certain portion of the electorate has low information, and so they look for proxies for making their decision. And
I love that. Right. Say that again. A certain portion of the electorate, go ahead, say it again.
Are low information voters, and so they look for proxies for information, and name recognition is one of those. Party is another way of making selections that gives us information that we otherwise wouldn't have.
I'm going to have our producer Ian Pickus put that quote up on our wall because it is so profound. Go ahead.
Well, that's coming from other people, not from me. So, but importantly, there probably is something to the fact that he has name recognition. You know, he's an incumbent, right? There are advantages with incumbency, he is the Democrat in a Democratic state, right?
Yeah, but he's surrounded by crooks. Don't you get it?
No, well, in terms of your question about why people continue to support him, you know, I think that there are any number of advantages that are hardwired into his candidacy. And then beyond that, he has a track record that Democrats can get behind. It's not as if while he has governed from times at the center, and even people have argued from the center right, there are other things that he has, you know, done that are fit within that progressive category. So he has some appeal across the spectrum. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, with somebody like Cynthia Nixon, you're being asked to choose between somebody that has, you know, lots of experience, that has a fairly lengthy track record, and then somebody that's a relative novice in terms of governance.
I hate that argument, because what I keep thinking about is when people give it to me, I say, experience in what? You know, hanging around with crooks?
In terms of our recent history, it may be that some of the appetite to have an outsider come in who has little experience in governance, we may have satisfied that particular itch, and the experiment, some would say, is not going terribly well. So given that...
You're talking about Trump, of course.
Tip my hand. The Found point, I think, is that, that there are any number of things that cut towards Cuomo rather than against him. And obviously, you see that in the polls.
Yeah, it's true. Let's talk about Mueller. Everybody's waiting on Mueller. Mueller. The Justice Department says, well, you know, you can't indict him. You can't indict the president. You have to impeach him first. To which I always say, yeah, what if he does what he says he could do? You know, shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue in broad daylight. You couldn't indict him for that?
Right. I mean, so that's a position that was taken by the Office of Legal Counsel within the Department of Justice and quite some time ago. And it has become, a more than plausible position. In other words, that more and more lawyers, particularly lawyers in government, seem to take that position. But everybody recognizes that it's never been tested. However, there have been a few reports that Mueller seems to believe that, right? That in other words, that his objective is not indictment. It is to investigate and then to present something for Congress to decide whether to impeach or not. Now, that's all based on kind of, you know, secondhand reporting. But it is one of the things we don't know. Would Mueller be willing to indict? And I don't think I don't have a lot of confidence that he would. And there are these other things that we don't know, right? I mean, there's the timing issue. I mean, as you were kind of, your lead-in was suggesting, like, we just don't know when we're going to get this report. You know, will we get it? There was some indication, particularly by the Trump administration, that it would, like, end by the end of the summer, right? Well, that doesn't seem to be the case. They haven't even interviewed Trump yet, and they seem like they want to. And that doesn't seem to be moving towards a resolution. So it seems like it's going to stretch out. And if it stretches out, will we get any kind of report before the election? Well, there are not any number of considerations there about whether, in fact, Mueller wants to be seen as, you know, influencing the election in any particular way, whether, you know, in whichever direction his report will eventually cut. But we also know that Mueller has released information and has made some moves that are politically aware, at least certainly seem to be. I mean, the announcement of the indictment of the 12 Russian agents was done while Trump was abroad and just a few days before he was going to meet with Vladimir Putin.
And so, the Manafort trial, which as we speak is still going on.
Yeah. And so, like, and so, you know, there are these series of things that we don't know. And honestly, we just don't know that much about, like, the content, what all he has. More information emerges and we can look at the pattern of the investigation. And it looks more and more like he's trying to make, or he's looking seriously at, the obstruction of justice case. There appeared to have been kind of multiple violations of federal campaign finance law, right? I mean, way back in 2016, right, you know, the Trump campaign solicited donations from members of British Parliament. They were, like, live tweeting this at the time, which is a very clear violation of federal law, right? I mean, so 52 U.S. Code 30121.
Impressive.
Yeah, thanks. I wrote it down. Bans not just monetary donations from foreign nationals, but also other things of value, right? That's the quote, other things of value. Well, the infamous meeting with Don Jr. in Trump Tower was about something of value, right? I mean, in other words, that they were trying to get dirt on Hillary Clinton. Information has value. That appears to be a violation of federal campaign finance law.
Okay, I've got to stop you right there because we're running out of time, and I'm very anxious to talk to you about Rudy Giuliani. Every time I see him on television, I think of a braying jackass, and I'm wondering, is he really helping the president?
So on this point, right, that I was just making, that, like, in other words, that there are different access points to Trump in terms of some type of, you know, criminal charge. The question is, like, which lever are you pulling? And is this more of a political contest or is it a legal contest? Giuliani seems to see this as a political contest. His legal arguments largely don't make sense. He keeps moving the goalposts as if there weren't a codified law that's relatively clear. And so he's playing a political game. And I think that that is aimed at articles of impeachment. In other words, that he's not terribly concerned about an indictment. What he is concerned about is the report and what the House will do with it. And so he is laying a foundation for a political justification for not bringing articles of impeachment against Trump.
It could well be. We love having our very good friend Brad Hayes on. He's associate professor of political science at Union College. Lucky to have him. Holds a PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland. He knows an awful lot about American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions. Brad, we hope you'll come back and join us again real soon. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Alan.